Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Our next guest on the podcast was Philip Ryan, who is an Irishman living in Vancouver, and he uses electroconvulsive therapy in his treatment for depression. Good podcast.
Yeah, a fantastic podcast, a very interesting character, you know, and it's definitely another method for people to understand around ways to get through depression. Particularly what really stood out for me was electroshock therapy, because I remember watching films where you'd have people inside in asylums and they'd be getting these shock treatment on the top of their heads, and that was my understanding of it. But after listening to him, I have a completely different perspective on it and how it benefits himself and other people. So yeah, it's a fascinating podcast, and it will interest a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more humane than you would imagine, and it's benefiting him. Some of the side effects then would be it helps with the depression along with the medication, but then the memory is affected. So he was backpacking throughout Asia and he can't remember it. Mm. So it weighs up the pros and cons, said it's worth it. So if you're interested in any of that, be sure to watch the video. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. It won't cost you a penny, but it helps us in a lot of ways. And if you can afford it, you can support us on Patreon to help cover the rent and the production costs. And enjoy the video.
Take care.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Two Norris podcast. I am your host, James. And I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hi, everyone.
This is a remote podcast, and we're zooming in Philip from Vancouver, or Philip from Kilkenny, but living in Vancouver. And Philip is a fan of the podcast. He listened to the podcast and he got in touch with us there a while back. We've been back and forth with email for a while, and finally get to sit with him here with his own story of overcoming some difficulties. But before we get into it, Philip, first of all, thanks for joining us. It's 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening here. What time is it where you are?
10 o'clock, 10:05.
Well, where's the weather?
Shit, wet.
it's pretty much like the same here, anyway, Philip.
Yeah, just like home.
Yeah, different time zone, same weather.
Yeah.
But come here, how did you end up in Vancouver? What was it like in Kilkenny?
Basically, when I finished college, was my goal to join the Guards. That was my my plan, and that's about 15 years ago now, and there's a real bad recession at the time, and there's no jobs, so I was kind of working in some jobs I didn't like at the time, and a friend of mine, Rob, was like, I worked with, was like, oh, I'm planning on going to Vancouver. And I was like, oh, I heard Vancouver's good. I'll go with you for a year. So I went over for a year, and then 10 years later, I'm still here.
Very good, very good. Yeah. What age are you?
35 now.
Yeah, I'm 37.
So,
Quantum.
So you're a big Cats fan anyway, Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
growing up in Ireland, that's all there was. Growing up in Kilkenny, that's all there was Ireland.
I've been up to Kilkenny for a few weekends, and there've been mad sessions. Now, when I was drinking, what was it like growing up in Kilkenny? How was it growing up for you? And just give us a little bit of context of your situations growing up in school and stuff like that, please, boy.
I suppose the reason I got on the podcast in the first place was I reached out to you just to say I was a big fan, and just had me all battles with depression for the last, say, 20 years. And growing up, Kilkenny was great. Like, I had my father was a butcher and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and I have a brother and sister, and both of them were fantastic and are fantastic. But growing up in Kilkenny, I just used to hurl a lot as a young lad. And in school then I found out when I went to secondary school then that I didn't really kind of fit in much. And that's when like the feelings of like worthlessness and depression started to creep in a bit, like. And
what age were you then, Philip?
It started to get bad when I was around 13, 14. It started to get bad. And around that time then my mother and father started noticing, and they started to get me help for it, like going to doctors and stuff. And I think I started on medication when I was 14, 15. But also at that time then, like, I started self-harming a bit as well, like, which wasn't good, because that's the only way I knew how to cope.
Yeah.
I wasn't really talking to anyone about it. I was ashamed. I'm ashamed and still am. Ashamed of it, like.
Let me tell you something. Growing up, I used to self-harm as well, you know. And it was just a form of escapage for me back then, get away from reality. And I got a sense of escape every time I'd done it, you know. And even if somebody noticed it then, it was like I was getting attention then as well at the same time. I don't know, was that anything to do with it? But I just got this really good bit of release from it. So I can definitely relate, yeah. You know, especially if you're depressed, and it would have been around the same age as well as yourself.
Yeah, and I remember kind of reading and watching interviews and lately, and they're saying that like self-harm actually like protected a lot of people from suicide, because it was like an outlet for all the pain and suffering which they didn't have otherwise. I don't know how true that is now, but
well, yeah, it is a type of a coping skill, not the healthiest coping skill, but it's better than no coping skill, you know. You have something that relieves the stress or the pain in some way. It's harmful in another way, but it is a type of a coping skill, like a drug is, or an eating disorder, or a self-harm. It is something that people look to distract themselves, you know. If you get the physical manifestation of pain, it takes you away from the emotional pain, because the focus is on the cut or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so that was like secondary school was serious hard, and I ended up being hospitalized for the first time when I was 17, because I was like pretty suicidal. I was like planning on like hanging myself, to be honest, and like that was, I didn't go through with it, but like my mother found out anyway, and I ended up being hospitalized for, I think, about 2 weeks, I think, in Kilkenny Psychiatric Hospital. That was tough enough, especially as a young lad as well. Like, you see a very lot of very ill people in the hospital too. But I got through it anyway and did the leaving cert, and then something amazing happened. I went to college and I fucking down to Waterford, and I had a great time down there. I just like fit in. I found my group. I just had a wonderful 4 years there. And another great thing happened as well. I growing up, like all there was to do was hurling or football or soccer, and I wasn't really that passionate about it. But when I went to college and afterwards, I found boxing and I fell in love with it, and that was my outlet as well. Like, was just the endorphins and the sense of accomplishment that really helped. So college was great. Although I did end up going back to hospital once in my fourth year of college again, I relapsed. But I got through it. And I eventually moved to Vancouver then, because it was my plan to join the Guards. But just with the recession, I said I'd go over and join the cops over in Vancouver. That was my plan.
Do you know, whilst you were in college, were you on medication to help you with depression?
Oh, yeah. I've been on medication every day since I've been 14, 15. They reckon
that,
it's...
That helps. It helps you.
I think so, because when I don't take it, I notice, like, after a few days, my mood dips a lot, like, because they reckon my depression is all biological, because I have no traumas in my life. I come from a very privileged upbringing. Like, my mother and father were wonderful. Like, they gave me, like, the best possible life. So I think most of it is biological, yeah.
Yeah. And so what was it like in Vancouver? Was it a big change for you? Like, did you get a few years out of in Vancouver when you were okay, or was it difficult from the get-go?
I got about 5 solid years in Vancouver where I was okay just on tablets. And when I first landed in Vancouver, I saw the Vancouver police car drive by, and I said to myself that I'm going to be a cop someday. So that's what I worked on for the next 5 years, was like getting my citizenship and like doing all the volunteer work and stuff to prepare me for the police. And I did the pass the entrance exams, and I did a good interview and stuff, but it came up in the interview that I was in hospital a few times, and they basically told me not going to happen, never going to happen, because they couldn't chance a relapse happening while I was on the job. So I was disappointed, so I said, all right, whatever. So I flew to Toronto, and I applied to Toronto police, and I did an interview with them, did a good interview, but I didn't tell them at all about me depression. I kind of kept it a secret, but police being police did a background check, and they found out, so they removed me from the competition, the recruitment selection. So then I flew to Ottawa, and I applied to Ottawa police. So you can see a trend here. I'm too stupid to know when time.
You know what? You're determined, pal. Fair play. Yeah. I give it you for determination.
Yeah. ultimately, they didn't work out either. And after that, then I just my mood started to deteriorate a lot. Like, it was dreadful. I stopped like eating, and I stopped. All I did was just go to work and start considering suicide again, pretty bad. I broke up with my girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife, because I was feeling so bad. I broke up with her. And then one day after work, I went to Home Depot, like it's a hardware store. And I bought a rope, and like, I was like, I know what I'm going to do with this now. I told no one, and I started planning out like everything, like wrote up notes to say goodbye. And then the only thing that stopped me, I guess, was I couldn't find somewhere to do it. Because I was mindful of, I just didn't want someone to find the body and ruin their lives, like. Because in my own mind, like, it'd be hard on my mother and father and my friends, but they'd get over it because I'm no big loss. But, but something happened to me then in the planning where I said, something came to me. It was like, do I actually want to die, or do I want the pain to end? And I was kind of coherent enough then to realize I just wanted the pain to end. So... I rang my wife and told her like how bad I was feeling, and I checked. I went down to the emergency room down in Vancouver and checked myself in to the hospital. So they put me in a lockdown psychiatric ward for, I think I was there for a few weeks anyway. That was hard. Now I saw some very sick people there with like varying degrees of mental illness. And then around just having a meeting with the doctor, they're saying that like the medication wasn't working. I was on a lot of medication, up to 5 or 6 types of medications, and none of them were offering any relief. So they recommended that there's this pretty new thing called ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, and they explained what it was, where they basically sedate you, put you to sleep, and just send a small current into your brain, which causes a seizure. Your body goes into seizure, and then it kind of basically resets the chemicals in your brain. And it had like an 85% success rate or something for depressed patients, like very high. So like at that time, I just wanted like the pain to end. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. So for a month, I went there three times a week, every week for 4 weeks, for up to 12 sessions. And then I've been doing that then. After that, then they put you on a maintenance dose every 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been doing that then for the past 3 or 4 years.
And how is it working out for you?
It's grand. The memory loss is still one of the bad side effects of it. Like, to give you some context, a few years ago, I went backpacking in Asia for 3 months, but I don't remember any of it at all. I just look at photos and I don't have any memory of it, because it was after that trip that I came back and I kind of went to the hospital and had the ECT. So like it kind of erased a lot of memories. So it's that's one of the side effects. But I think it works. It doesn't cure it completely.
How's your mood?
At the moment, it's up and down. Like, the biggest part of it is, a lot of people, when they think of depression, they think of sadness. They think that you're sad. But for me, it's like, I just don't want to do anything. I just have no interest in living. I don't want to like get up in the morning. I don't want to eat. I don't want to like every task, like taking out the rubbish or, I don't know, going to the gym feels like monumental, and just that procrastination. Then like I go back to the doctors and try and tell them how I feel, and they're like, well, we can send you for more ECT. And I'm kind of like, ECT is great, but it's kind of giving me a lot of memory loss at the moment. And then it's like, it's hard to keep down a job as well when you're doing all those doses every week, you know.
What's it like after one of the ECT sessions? Like, what way are you for the rest of the days? Does it take a lot out of you physically? Do you have to go to bed, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. It'd be real disorientated after it, like especially after being under sedatives. Physically you feel exhausted, like you're after doing like a good gym session or something. So that's one of the positives of it, I suppose, getting a good workout in. But the hospital, the healthcare is very good here. The hospital actually drive me home and drive me back to my apartment.
What does a session of ECG detail? Like, what do? You go to the hospital, do you get strapped to a bed? Do they put them on your head, or how does it actually work?
Oh, yeah, good question. At the moment, it was every month I was going up to the hospital, and their first thing to do is to give me an IV. And then I just want to say the staff are all amazing. Like, the staff are great, because every time you go into it, like, you're kind of afraid, you're anxious, and the staff are so comforting and amazing. Like, the nurses are brilliant. They give you an IV, they put you down on the bed, they wheel you into the operating room. They don't strap you down, but there's behind your head, there's this thing that looks like a car battery, and they put electrodes on your head for the current, and then they put like stuff on your heart as well, around your chest to measure your heartbeat and stuff. And then they put you off to sleep, and it's over in about, the whole thing takes about 15 minutes. And you wake up then about half an hour, 40 minutes later, like just really disorientated.
What's the actual theory behind it? What does this ECG do? What does it actually do? How does it actually work chemically?
It's like if you have a laptop and it freezes and it's not working right, you reboot it, restart it, and the program runs a lot more smoothly. That's the same for ECT then. They believe like by sending a current into the brain, it almost like reboots the brain and resets the serotonin and dopamine levels in your head and gets them back to a healthy level, I guess. Like, that's why it's, if you have some, like, say, traumatic thing in the past that you're not confronting, and that's hanging over you, ECT is not going to help. But like if yours is like more biological, like mine was or is currently, then ECT can help a good bit. Yeah,
I remember back in the day I used to get fits. Remember when I was taking lots of benzodiazepines, if I was on a binge with the tablets, and then I'd be a day without them, then you can go into fits, you know, seizures. But I remember coming around from the seizures and you would be exhausted, like completely fatigued, very disorientated. And I can imagine what that's like on a regular basis. Must be very taxing on your body and your head. But I suppose you're weighing up the pros and cons to it. And at the moment, the pros outweigh the cons, would it?
I think so, yeah. It was just hard. Excuse me. When you're doing it three times a week, it's very taxing on your body.
Mm.
But like, I was doing it once every 3 or 4 weeks now as a maintenance dose.
Yeah.
And it's more manageable, yeah.
Do you know, from all the medication that you've used in the past, is it better than the medication? Does it make you feel better?
I think so. And it worked. Like, the medication takes time to take effect. Like,
yeah.
It would take a few weeks for medication to really reap the full benefits. But with ECT, you can do it in like 2 weeks. You can see some real benefits of it. Like, and it's not just to use it for like, not just depression. I see they use it for people with psychosis as well and schizophrenia as well. It's supposed to have real high success rates as well.
Mm.
Mm. You know, when somebody hears that somebody's getting electroshock therapy, you know, it's like your brain automatically goes back to the 50s and 40s and 60s,
yeah.
when people are inside in the psychiatric wards and they're lying down on the bed and they have these things up on top of their head and they're like that. You know, that's people's understanding of it. But from what you're saying here, it sounds like it's actually really genuinely helping people's lives.
It is, yeah, and it's real. That's what I'm looking for. It's comfortable as it can be. Like the only difficult part has been sedated, like being put under. Like, the hardest part of it is getting the IV put in, like the external IV put in, like, because the treatment itself is you're asleep for it, so you don't remember any of it.
Mm.
Like, the memory loss is hard, though, but I get a great use out of my Netflix account because I can't remember anything I watched. So,
yeah.
I know. That's good. And how's your relationship?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You said you're married there. Is like, how's your relationship? And like, is it difficult to maintain a relationship? Like, let's say, you know, if your wife wants to go for dinner or she wants to do this and that, and you really have to push yourself to try and make it work?
My wife is great. She's real understanding. She kind of reads my mood. I'm kind of person, I don't talk about how I'm feeling at all. It's still one of just my negative things about me, is I don't talk about how I'm feeling. I keep it to myself, but she can read it. And sometimes she'll actually physically make me go for a walk, or like go for a coffee with her, just get out of the house and get some fresh air. And I always feel better after it.
Yeah.
My wife is like my parents, like they're like my rock. It's the reason I keep going, I guess. And
she sounds like an amazing woman, Philip.
She's very patient, and she was a primary school teacher as well, so she's used to dealing with kids. So she's just no problem to deal with me. And
is she an Irish woman or a Canadian woman, Philip?
She's from Toronto. Would you believe me?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's a. My neighbours like to joke that I had to emigrate to find a woman. but I found a good one, says I.
Yeah, does not harm in that. And have you any kids?
One on the way in a... First one, right, yeah.
Yes. So, nice one, pal.
Nervous about that now because, like, living with depression as well, like, I just want to be the best father I can be.
Do you know what, Philip? From looking at you and seeing how humble you are and how much you want to really be well, you will be a good father. You know, you have that real sense of gentleness and calmness over you, you know, and you will be a good father. You know, I've often, like, I remember when I came out of prison, I questioned myself whether I was going how to be a father, because I would have grown up, you know, not really having a male influence in my house a lot of the time. And I suppose when it came to it, I just realised that it's just about doing the right thing, you know, and that's it. And, like, you're going to make a fantastic father by it, and trust me in that.
Yeah, it might be a blessing, like, it might be the best thing to happen, yeah, because it might just give you, like, oh, my God, look what I'm after creating, you know, like something to live for, something to put a bit of a prep in your step, you know?
Yeah, like I have one thing about the healthcare over in Canada is that I have a fantastic mental health team here that look after me, and I have a case manager. And I remember the case manager, Richard, said to me when I was pregnant. But my wife,
you were pregnant.
That's what the ECT did, made me pregnant. But he told me I was going for the ultrasound, and he said, you get the ultrasound picture and you stick that on your fridge. And every day when you get up and you feel like you have nothing to live for, or you just don't feel like you can do anything, you look at that picture and you get that to motivate you. So, like, that's what I do, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, boy. That's brilliant.
Philip, yeah. that's And what else, what better team to motivate you? And you know, when that picture, when that child is born, you'll take a picture of the child, right? And you'll put that picture on the fridge. And you'll keep taking pictures of that child with yourself and your wife. And there's your reason to get up every morning and enjoy life. And you know, instead of looking at the negative, and I know it's a tough thing to do when you don't feel like doing too much. But you know, when you look at those pictures, you've some very, very, very good reasons by to be alive, you know. And it's gratitude. I've learned that when I was at my lowest point, I looked at my life and I looked at the things that I did have, and it was very, very, very difficult to look at the things that I did have outside of the way I was feeling, because I was depressed at the time. And you know what? In time, I started to, you know what? I am absolutely blessed because I have a family, I have kids, I have a wife. You know, I have good people in my life, you know, and that will happen, pal. Do you know what I mean? It definitely will happen, and trust me in that.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're doing, do you know with the ECT, do you still take your medication alongside it?
Religiously, yeah. You can't stop medication. And I tried a few times to wean off it, because I guess it makes me quite lethargic and tired. So I kind of wanted just to wean off the medication, just to kind of have a better like quality of life. And my doctors I have is fantastic. They're very accommodating, and we tried, but as soon as I kind of messed around with it, like my mood just dipped a lot.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like I'm tied to it at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, you mentioned there about the health service being pretty good over where you are. Have you got like health insurance or like the health system in Ireland at the moment is under fierce pressure, and mental health services especially. What's it like where you are?
Health services is pretty much free. Like, I don't pay for any of the services I get, like, at all. It's all covered under the medical services plan. And I think like 90% of my medication is all free as well, which would be a fierce cost. And the health service is pretty good, but at the moment, like if here in Vancouver, like down in East Hastings, there's a lot of homeless people with addictions and mental health problems, and I don't think like the health services is equipped to handle them. I think they're under pressure too.
You mentioned there Vancouver. Is that place where is that the place that Gabra Matt walked years? Have you been to that area?
No, I've been to Vancouver Island. If he's based around there, yeah, I'd love to like try the ayahuasca. I think that would be very beneficial. I was actually looking into it.
I've tried ayahuasca myself a few times.
Well,
the big caveat there is they always advise against ayahuasca when you're taking SSRIs.
Really?
What's that, James? What's SSRIs?
Antidepressant medication.
Okay.
You're not, like, you have to be very careful. There was one guy, he was in Peru. I think he was Canadian, actually. He was in Peru and he was taking the ayahuasca, but he got a weird one on it, and he went in and he killed one of the village elders in Peru. And the village slaughtered him. They killed him there and then. But they searched his hotel room. But he was on Prozac and stuff like that. But if you do your research on ayahuasca and SSRIs, they don't recommend that at all. It wouldn't be worth it. You know, the cons way the pros in that sense. But do your research anyway. Don't take my word from it. That's just what I was reading about before.
And how was your experience with it, Timmy?
Right, my experience was very positive, because like for years when I was early on in my recovery, I was really, really depressed, because I was going through a lot, and it like from years and years of meditation, I worked with a psychologist, I worked with a psychotherapist, I kind of had spoke about all my stuff at this period, and I became comfortable in my own skin, and I had tools to kind of manage that stuff as well on a daily basis. So by the time I done away ayahuasca, I was in a good place. You know, not that I was in a good place. I was in a place that I could manage all my stuff, you know, that was coming up for me. So when I was doing the session, the ayahuasca session, then I felt there was stuff came up that was really, really difficult to process. But I suppose I was able for it because of all the therapy that I'd done for the 8 years beforehand and the meditation for 8 years beforehand and, you know, all the understanding and all the personal development groups. So I was in a good place. And what James said there is very important as well, you know, and this is without getting anybody's hopes by kind of diminishing your hopes. What he said is very important. It is a big deal when somebody kind of goes to do ayahuasca and there's issues in the background, you know, and they're not really in a great place. But that's not saying that you can't do it down the line. All we're saying really is maybe have a chat to somebody and maybe look into it a little bit more and research it around if somebody has issues around their mental health first. But Jesus, like, my experience really helped me because it I felt love for the first time in my life. I experienced something that I'd never experienced before, and I was able to go home then and be around my family and know then what love was, because I was feeling it. You know, I felt it during the session, but I'd never known what it was until I got home and I felt it in my family home when I was around my family. And then I said, whoa, this is love, like, you know, because it was just my experiences growing up were really difficult. But don't leave that kind of drop your hopes or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just all we're saying here is really, really research it a little bit in depth. There's a lot of positive stuff, but you need to be ready for something like that. I've had a lot of people contact me through the podcast around ayahuasca. And I have to explain to them, like, you really need to be in a place where you're able to handle stuff before you go in and do this, because this stuff, like, won't sugarcoat any information. It won't tell you the light stuff. It'll give you stuff full on. It'll tell you what you know. It can be tough stuff to handle, and but if someone's in the right place, Philip, it can really, really, really help them.
And you know, you need to do a lot of sessions of it, do you reckon, or like, would one session help a lot? Like,
I done two sessions of 2 to 3 nights each time. And this first time I done 3 sessions, I had a powerful experience. It was a tough, tough experience, I won't lie. It was difficult. But my second experience was for 3 nights, but I only done 2, because after the second night I felt I was ready to go home. It was more like a healing for me. It was like an energy healing. And that was, I done it twice in 3 years. Twice, like, I don't feel the need to do it again. You know, it's not something that I need to go back and keep doing. It's just I don't feel the need to do it now. At the moment, it's all about meditation now again for me. It's about just focusing on meditation, mindfulness, and just using that in my daily life to become more aware and to be accepting of my day and what's going on in my day and everything around me. And, you know, and that's what I'm doing at the moment. And there's a lot of other stuff going on as well. Me and James are flat out to the mat at the moment, and it's about managing that. But, you know, like, I'm sure you done mindfulness. We spoke before we came on here, and you spoke that you were doing a little bit of mindfulness, and it's very, very beneficial in the sense that, say, for example, you're really feeling low today, okay? You wake up and you're fucking saying, Jesus Christ, this is going to be another fucking day, this, Philip, today. Another day of just feeling low, no sense of wanting anything, no sense of hope, okay? Next, all of a sudden, you switch it on a flip, you turn around, you just say, okay, this is how I'm feeling today, okay? This is how I'm feeling. I'm going to go around. I am feeling low in my body. I don't feel right. You know, up here and then upstairs, it's like there might be a lot of ruminating, a lot of chatter, negative talk in the head. And it's like, okay, this is what's going on in my head. And I brought that acceptance into my life back then when I was really depressed, when I wanted to take my life every single day, you know. And I just, do you know what I done, Philip? I visualized myself being a healthy, healthy human being. And healthy for me was mentally, you know. Physically, I was in great shape, but my head was gone. You know, I had no hope. I felt like I was a bad person, you know. And I just kept visualising myself being a happy person, getting up every morning, loving life, loving my family, saying hi to everybody. And it was the most difficult time of my life, even to try to do that, even to just visualise myself being happy was difficult. But it worked. It really, really, really worked. These visualisation meditations, and I felt it during the meditation. I was starting to feel happy because I was looking at myself and I was smiling in my head. You know, I walked around the place constantly sad and angry. But no, during the meditation, the first time it didn't work. For months it didn't work. Next, all of a sudden, I'd get a smile out of myself every once in a while. And then the smile started to be getting better. And next, all of a sudden, I'm walking around this place with a big smile on my face. Oh, how are we getting on? And, you know, and all this. And that's when I started to notice my daily life during my day, you know, in real life, in reality, not just in meditation, that I was starting to become more of an extrovert. I was saying hi to people. I wasn't antisocial anymore. I was chatting to people and I was giving people a bit of time and I was seeing the good in people instead of the bad in people, and my life changed. So meditation is most definitely a great tool, but a lot of people have this voice in the head that says meditation's not for me, I can't do it. And you know what, it's just about sitting still for the first time for a minute or two. Do it the next day, set an alarm on your clock that you're going to do it every single day. And it's about just sitting still and accepting whatever's going on for yourself at that moment in time in your life.
Practice, no, isn't it?
Practice, and it's practice, not, is it, you have to build it into your structure today forever. It has to be something like, I get up in the morning, what's the first thing I do? I put my legs out of the bed and I walk into the bathroom, I use the toilet and I brush my teeth. Meditation could be the next step after brushing the teeth. You can go down the stairs and do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's about accepting how you feel at that time in the morning. When you bring acceptance into your morning like that and how you're feeling, what you're doing is you're bringing an awareness around into your reality in everyday life of the same acceptance. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what you're thinking, you bring yourself back to the breath, back to the breath, back to the breath. And you say, this is how I'm feeling. And this is how it is for me today. And that's it. It's about acceptance and surrendering into whatever's going on for you.
Yeah. Do you know, you were inquiring about the ayahuasca, but I was looking there in Alberta, Canada's, you can get psychedelics for depression and mental illness through a physician. So that might be the way to go for you with the medication and the hospitalizations you have to go through it that way, and just be really careful about that. Do you know what I mean?
Have a chat with your key worker, Frank, is it? That's his name?
Richard.
Richard. I would sit down and have a chat. He sounds like a good person who really cares for you. And your wife there sounds like fucking, like my wife, James' wife, like the fucking angel that we have here on earth to keep us going and to keep us alive. You know, sit down and have a good chat with her. You know, don't make that compulsive decision on your own back without chatting to anybody and just go with it, because that won't work. You know, I've tried that and it doesn't work.
Another thing I find that helps as well, or helps a lot, is exercise is so important.
Mm.
Even if it's like a 10-minute walk, like just get those endorphins going, like a run or go to the gym for half an hour, 40 minutes, like really helped me like throughout the day.
Would you not try and join a boxing club or something? Get back into it.
Yeah, get back into it. Yeah, I fought over here for a few years and then I kind of when I felt back into the pros of the profession, I kind of fell out of it again. But like, yeah, that'd be an idea to join a boxing club again. Yeah.
What's your life like today? Do you work and what kind of hobbies? Have you got Irish friends over there, or what's it like?
Yeah, big Irish group over here. Yeah, at the weekend I work as a bouncer at one of the Irish bars downtown. So that's great for like just meeting people, and all the people I work with and my manager are sound out as well. And I practice that because I'm actually very introverted. So I use that to kind of help me get a little bit more extroverted and kind of get out of my shell a bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're great people to work with. I work at the moment in health and safety, and like, work is grand, kept busy over here. And then I have a nice apartment here by the beach in a little place called Kitsilano, literally 5 minute walk from the beach, from the ocean. So I'm really lucky there. And then I have a child on the way in July, so that's going to be class as well.
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Amazing, boy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, fair play to you. Like, you know, look at these, look at all the positives you have in your life. Look at all them. Like, I can see so many of them. Like, I can see so many good people in your life that really care for you as well. And that's just from chatting to you there for the last, nearly 45 minutes. You know, but we also understand that it's a chemical imbalance within your mind. You know, and we understand that. And what me and James do with this podcast, we talk about everything that's there that can help people, you know, who are suffering from addiction, mental health issues and whatever else, you know, and this is just another avenue,
yeah.
You know, what you're speaking about here, and it seems to be helping you in its own way.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a bit nervous about coming on the podcast because I normally don't talk about myself, but I remember saying to myself, if like one person will listen to this podcast and get some help out of it, it'd be well worth doing, because I know like you have such a high listenership, so like hopefully like a bit of help one or two people like that are suffering themselves, and let them know that like they're not alone, and like just reach out and get help.
Yeah, brilliant. Is there anybody you want to say hi to, like at home or in Vancouver, or anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Just want to say hi to my man, Dad, and my sister Denise, and my brother David, and my wife Kaylee. I better not forget them, or I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, especially the wife. She's the one that'll be you'll be meeting there in a few minutes. But maybe listen, we'd love to come over to Canada one of the days, go over to Vancouver. That's where Gabba Mate had his practice, and we had him on the podcast. And you know, if we can get him through customs with the criminal records, we'll give you a shout when we get over.
Yeah, please do.
What do you know what sex the child is?
No, not yet.
You don't? And
right.
Okay, that's fair enough. Do you want to say hello to your child?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a good one.
Hello, baby.
Say hello.
Nice to meet you.
Philip,
yeah.
Listen, thanks a million, boy, for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
Well, you have an inspirational story, boy, and how you're doing and how you're actually really trying to live your life considering the stuff that's going on for you, you know? And hopefully there's someone else out there who's suffering in the same way, and you'll just have to give them an avenue to help them out as well. So fair play.
I just want to say thanks, lads, for having me on. And I listen to your podcast a lot, and it's just gives me such hope and such lifts. Like, just the people you have on are fantastic, and the two of you are class. And it's just like meeting two of my heroes that I look up to. So that's one of the reasons I was so nervous as well, like meeting the two of you. So
You did a great job, Philip. Thanks a million for your time. 2023 is going to be a good year for you and your family. So stay in touch and mind yourself.
Thanks Philip. Cheers, buddy.
God bless, buddy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.